All right. At this time, I'm going to call up Cheryl. Cheryl has been a part of our church for the last several months, and she, last week, came up to me after the service when we were talking about missions, and she said, "Lizzie, I'm going on mission." And I'm like, "All right, when? Next week." I'm like, "Whoa, okay." Here we go, pretty much. And so Cheryl's going to come and tell us a little bit about what God has called her to, how she's been involved in missions in the past, and what she's prepared to go and do in the next little while. And then we're going to pray over her.
Thank you. Okay, good morning, church. And thank you. I was so pleased when I asked Dr. Lizzie. Not Dr. Lizzie, although you're a mother of four, so you probably played doctor a number of times. When I asked Pastor Lizzie if I could say a few words, just to introduce myself, my name is Cheryl. I'm a registered nurse at the hospital, and my mom and my friends here started searching for a new church home a couple of months ago, and we have found it here, and we're very grateful. It's very important to me to go to a church that has missions. I feel called to missions at a young age. When I was 16, I went to Honduras and Belize, doing construction projects with Teen Missions International and People's Church in Toronto, where I'm from. Then I went to nursing school. In 2005, while vacationing in the Dominican Republic, I became aware of a mission there called Dominican Crossroads Mission under the direction of Dr. Robert Amlingmeyer, a Dutch-American, and the mission worker Karen Conkerwit, who's a retired widowed school teacher from Saskatchewan. Dr. Bob and Karen have dedicated their lives living there, helping primarily Haitian refugees living in the Dominican Republic. Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. It's actually classified as a fourth world country. It has dismal poverty, child trafficking, and one of the highest HIV rates in the world. I came home and I started researching this mission because I felt called to help. The motto of the mission that Dr. Bob has is a verse in Proverbs 3:27. The verse states, "Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is within your power to act." It's a very small verse, but I actually think it's one of the most important verses in the Bible. It's very clear at the start. First of all, do not. Right? It's not a commandment. It's not like a Ten Commandment, but it's very clear. Do not. Thou shalt not. It's like a fancy way of saying do not. When you say do not, withhold, I think the word withhold is very important as well. When you are withholding something from somebody who needs help in any way, you have it. You have it in you to give, whether it's your time, your money, your compassion, your skills, your prayers, whatever it is, you are purposely choosing not to help them. You are withholding the good. The last part of the verse says, when it is within your power to act. And that really struck me. So at that point, I said, what is within my power to act? I started networking with doctors and pharmacists I know, and I started going twice a year there to help, bringing massive amounts of pharmaceuticals across the border to donate there. And let me tell you, bringing medications into a third world country in customs is very nerve-wracking. Very nerve-wracking. Dr. Bob and Karen and I would do field clinics where we would go into the Haitian villages, 13 different villages, set up makeshift clinics, eye clinics, and I also assisted with the HIV feeding program. That program is, because there are so many people living with HIV there, the government will give them antiretroviral meds, but if you're starving, no medication is going to work with you. So you have to do that. So I would go and then come back and do fundraisers. Tomorrow I am going for trip number 18. So I know that I forget your name, but you just did 108. So I'm not quite there, but I'm getting up to it. I would like to ask my new church family to pray for some specific things. Number one, travel. There is no direct flight from here, so it will take me 23 hours to get there. Yeah. I'm very sad to say that Dr. Bob passed away in 2021, but Karen still soldiers on by herself. Karen and I will be staying in a very remote Haitian town in the hills in a cinder block house. There are no tourist resorts, gated community, security, anything like that where we are. So I'm not even going to lie. It feels a little bit vulnerable there as two females. And bless her, she lives there all the time by herself. As in with any third world country, there's a lot of corruption with the police, the government, military, stuff like that. There is no 911. So the consulate is 8 hours away. So, you know, there's that. It can be a little bit scary as well. We're dealing with rough terrain, and as you guys know from Costa Rica, flash floods can come at any time. Earthquakes, I'm sure you heard about the big one in Haiti in 2010. When we go into the villages, we are subjecting ourselves to infectious diseases, contagious diseases, airborne pathogens, skin conditions, HIV, and anything else you can think of. There is no sanitation, there is no running water, there is no mask, gloves, gowns, personal protective gear. So I need to be protected by Jesus as we subject ourselves to that. Also, there's so many wonderful Christian churches and believers in the Haiti and Dominican. But Haiti does have a dark presence in that a lot of them do practice voodoo and witchcraft, so protection from spiritual warfare. I think the first time that I sprung this on my parents, my mom there and my dad who has passed, I think they were equal parts proud, super supported, and happy that I'm following God's calling, but I think they're also a little bit terrified too, truth be told. But the most important thing at all is that I want to pray that people will be reached for Jesus, that they will feel loved and seen and valued, and we can show God's love through practical acts of service.
Thank you, Cheryl. Stay here, because we are going to pray for you as a church. And church, we are a family. And one of our own is going on mission, and it sounds like an incredible mission, an incredible opportunity, and the seeds that you've already planted, the work that you've already done, how incredible, and I believe that God's going to just continue doing more and more. But church, I want to invite you, if you have a heart for missions, if you have a heart for Cheryl, come on up. We're going to lay hands on her, and we're going to pray as she goes on mission. And Lord, I just want to bring the request that Cheryl gave us before you, Lord, first for traveling mercies. Lord, that is a long haul. And so, Jesus, I just pray that you would strengthen Cheryl physically, Lord, that all the transitions, all of the airports, all of the customs, the immigration, everything, Lord, that you would go ahead of her and that it would be smooth in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that the anxiety would be washed away and rather Cheryl would go with full peace and assurance, knowing that you are there and that you are with her. Father, we pray for her physical protection while she is there. Jesus, that there would be no sickness, there would be no infirmity, there would be no disease that attaches to her, that weighs her down. But Father, that you would completely protect her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Lord, I pray that you would give her strength that she doesn't have on her own, but that there would be a physical strength that rises up within her, Jesus, that she is able to do far more than she thinks that she can. And Lord, we pray for spiritual protection. Lord, we know that she is going into a war zone in the spirit, but God, you are greater than anything that the enemy has. And so, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give her the strength, would guard her heart, would guard her mind. Lord, I pray for peaceful sleep. Lord, that there would be no terror, there would be no nightmares, there would be nothing in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray that as she goes and she gives this medicine and this treatment to those who need it, Lord, we know that she is also giving them you, your love, your peace, your offering, your forgiveness. And so, God, I pray for open and receptive hearts of those who will receive from Cheryl and from this ministry as she goes. Lord, we put her in your very capable, faithful hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll come back and tell you about it.
Yes, we're so excited to hear the testimonies. God is so good. It's good when we as a church can see what he's doing, right? What he's doing in us and through us as a church. Amen. God is good. Let's pray this morning as we prepare to hear from the word. Jesus, thank you that you speak to us through your word. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open, our ears would hear what it is that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So 10 years ago yesterday, I went cross-country skiing. I think it was Tyler's first time too. We went cross-country skiing for the first time ever. Now, I had actually never been on skis before. So this was my first time on skis, and we had a couple of friends who said, hey, we want to take you, like, we'll outfit you, you're good, it's easy. Just come and follow us, and you'll be good. They're like, Lizzie, just keep your skis in the tracks, and, you know, it's just going to feel so natural. Let me tell you, nothing about it felt natural at all. Not at all. And we went and we just kept trudging along, you know, our cross country skiing. It was stupid cold. It was like minus 17. So my hair was freezing. It was before I had gray hair, but because of the ice, it looked like I had gray hair, and the eyelashes were frozen. And we get 1 kilometer in and we see a sign, and it's like 1K loop. So you could just turn around right there and go back to your warm cars and be done. And I'm like, yes, look at this, look at what we accomplished, right? We did it, we haven't fallen yet. I probably had, actually. It was 10 years ago, I don't remember, but I felt pretty accomplished. We had done this thing. But our friends were like, you know what? You're doing great. Why don't you just go a little further? Like, let's do 1 more K. And so we're like, okay, we can do this. We were the new pastors, you know, we didn't want to let them down. So we're like, we can do this. So we keep going, we make it another kilometer, and it's getting a little bit better. I didn't look so much like Bambi on the ice. You remember that in the, was it Bambi? Yeah, it goes out on the ice and like flailing. At this point, I was starting to look a little bit better, and they're like, all right, we've gone 2K, let's keep going, let's go another one. And so we did, you know, by their encouragement, they're like, just keep going. And we kept going and going. We stopped looking at the signs and managed to, at the end of this time of skiing, we went 6 kilometers, which was 5 kilometers longer than I thought we could. And we ended up actually going up on a Black Diamond run, which who knew they had those in cross-country skiing? Not me. But we ended up at the top of this hill, and then, of course, we had to go down the hill. Let me tell you, that was a wild ride. And my friends, they did outfit me, but they outfitted me in hot pink snow gear. So everyone at the ski resort could see this person flying down the hill. It was quite a sight. But I tell you this story because what we thought was impossible at first got a little bit easier as we listened to the encouragement of our friends, just keep going. Don't turn back now. There's more for you to see. There's more for you to experience. And I feel like that's a little bit like prayer and our life of prayer with God. Sometimes we pray for a couple of minutes. We're 5 minutes in and we're like, I'm good. Let's turn around. That was my 1K loop, right? I'm good with that 5 minutes of prayer. But I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to be that friend for us, that encourages us to go a little further, to go a little deeper, perhaps a little longer in our prayer life. You know, I would have never gone that 6K in my skiing experience. I would have never experienced the growth or the breakthrough, the confidence, if my friends weren't pushing me, right? If they weren't encouraging me to keep going, to keep pressing in. So this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about how we press in and how we go further in prayer through the practice of fasting, because we are entering a week as a church of fasting and prayer, and we're doing this along with all of our Foursquare churches across Canada. And the goal of this week is to draw closer to God than we ever have before, because God has so much more for us than we'll ever know. Right? He has more for us. And until we take the time to intentionally seek him, to go further with him, we won't know what's lying behind, beyond that second kilometer marker. There's a powerful scripture from 2 Chronicles that I want to look at this morning as we begin to dig into this topic of prayer and fasting. This scripture comes at a time when Solomon is dedicating the temple in Jerusalem, and he had prayed this prayer, and they had done this great worship service, and this is God's response. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, he says, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's a great verse with a great promise. But part of the promise is the condition. The verse begins, did you hear it, with that condition? If my people. This is like the fork in the road, in the cross-country skiing road of life, right? If my people will go, or will they stay content? If my people will press in, or will they take the easy road? If my people will abandon their selfishness, or will they indulge comfort and complacency? See, we're beginning this week with a call to take a step of faith into deeper relationship with God. If my people, that's us, we are his people. We're called by his name. So this is a promise for us. The condition is to humble ourselves. If my people will humble themselves. The first condition to God hearing our prayer is one of humility. Humble here is not to be understood as thinking less of ourselves. It rather begins with seeing ourselves in right perspective to God. Humility is putting God in his place and keeping us in our place. It's not to degrade ourselves because we are already infinitely lower than Christ, but rather it's to recognize how great God is. We sang about that this morning. How great are you, God? It is an upward focus on God, not a downward focus on us. I'm looking at the greatness of God, not my depravity. In fact, if humility is focused on how low I am, on how wicked I am, on how miserable I am, how awful and degenerate I am. Do you hear what I'm saying over and over and over again? It's me, me, me. That's not humility. That's self-focused. That's pride. Godly humility is to get over self and recognize God for who he is. Humility is not thinking less of myself, but thinking of myself less. Okay, I'm going to say it again because that's a tricky one. Humility is not thinking less of myself, but thinking of myself less. Thinking of God more of you, Jesus, and less of me. That's what John the Baptist said. He said, he, Jesus, must become greater, and I must become less. Humility means abandoning hope in ourselves that we can do this on our own. And it's a reliance, a full reliance on God. It means abandoning our sinful ways to respond wholeheartedly to God's will. So how do we become humble? It's not easy, right? If it was easy, we'd all be humble. And we're not. We walk around with some pride. But I believe there are three ways that we see, even in this verse, to do this, to pursue humility. First is to pray. Second is to seek God's face. And third is to turn from sin. That's what humbling means. These are not so much conditions of answered prayer as they are descriptions of the people who actually pray wholeheartedly, who are seeking God with everything that they have. So what is the posture of prayer that you take? What is the posture of prayer that you take today? Yes. But think for a moment about what has been the posture of prayer that you have had at different points in your life, in your walk with God. Because I would guess that there are times, because I have, that some of you in this room have prayed half-hearted prayers, usually out of selfishness, right? God, would you do this for me? We tend to throw conditional prayers on God. Do you know what I mean by that? Lord, if you give me this job, then I will go to church every Sunday and I will tithe. Lord, if you would just give me this spouse, oh, then everything would be better. Then I will do this. Conditional prayers. Perhaps we've offered comfortable, easy prayers. Right? We pray before dinner, we pray before bed, and those are not bad things. But we run the risk of allowing comfortable prayers, routine prayers, to become the only prayers that we pray. How many of us have stayed up all night praying because we're just so desperate to get more of Jesus? And I don't mean this as a rebuke, because I've never done it. I've never stayed up all night praying, but I want to. I want to, in this year, press in deeper in my walk with the Lord. Say, Jesus, more of you and less of me. How do we get there? So desperate to press in. Will we be intentional in this year about moving beyond the comfortable into the uncomfortable, into those, I've never been here before? Even though I felt a bit like Bambi on the ice, if I press in, am I going to get to that place where I'm experiencing something new? I've never seen this. I've never felt this. I've never heard this before, because I'm seeking Jesus. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." This is the posture that I want in prayer. It is the pray about everything posture. In every situation, taking it to Jesus. The intentional praying about everything is pushing past that first kilometer marker and then continuing beyond, even perhaps scaling the black diamond. It's persevering in prayer. It's going past what you can do in the physical and relying on the spirit. And the way that we do that in the spiritual is through what we call fasting. So I want to tell you a story this morning about fasting. This was a story in a book that Tony Evans wrote about fasting, about two lumberjacks. Here's his story. It says, there was a young lumberjack who was quite proud of how fast he had become at cutting trees. He decided that he was ready to challenge an older, more experienced lumberjack to a competition. So they began chopping. The younger man went at it full speed with all that he had, never taking a break. He felt sure that he was going to win the competition because he never took a break that entire day. He noticed, however, that the older lumberjack would take a 15-minute break every hour. At the end of the day, the older lumberjack had cut many more trees than the younger. This made the younger man very mad, and he went to the older lumberjack and asked, "How is this possible? How could this be? How could he cut more trees while taking a 15-minute break every hour, whereas the young man never stopped to rest?" The older man looked at the young one and said, "You saw me take that 15-minute break. But what you didn't see is that every time I stopped chopping, I took the time to sharpen my axe." This is what fasting and prayer does for us as followers of Jesus. It allows us the opportunity to step away from the busyness of our world and take specific time for communion, for communication with our God. Fasting is about sharpening our axe. Now, what fasting means is to eat sparingly or abstain from food altogether. But fasting is a spiritual exercise, really, of the detoxification of the heart and mind and soul. But fasting in and of itself, it's not inherently spiritual. Okay? It's only spiritual when you apply spiritual practices to it. Otherwise, it's just a diet, and probably a bad one. Okay? The New Testament word for fasting is one who is empty. There is an emptying of ourself physically so that we can gain something spiritually. But fasting is not just the absence of food. It is the absence of food for a purpose. And the purpose is to replace the time and the focus, the distraction, the energy with prayer and worship. It's about making the spiritual more important than the physical. Because what our body says, and Todd, you referenced this morning through this season, oh, I want more pastries, more treats. I want. I need. Me. The flesh is vying for control over us. And what fasting does is it says no to the flesh and yes to the spirit. It is breaking the control of flesh over spirit. Jesus said once to his followers during a time where they were supposed to be praying. It was supposed to be an intense time of prayer. And Jesus went to them and he found them asleep. And he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We need to break the control of the flesh over the spirit through fasting. So in the Bible, we see a couple of types of fasts. There's just a regular fast, which is not eating food for a certain time. You know, one day from morning till evening, they would fast for a specific time and purpose. There were other fasts. Mordecai, he went on a fast for 3 days where he ate no food. He only had water. There's some partial fasts that we read about in the Bible. I think of Daniel. He went on a fast where it was a limited diet, where he only ate vegetables for a time. But the purpose of a fast was to replace regular activities with spiritual activities. It's denying ourselves something that we want and something that we need, emptying ourselves to seek what God wants instead to give to us. This is all about humility. It's all about denying ourselves. In the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, there were times when Jesus taught in the New Testament about fasting because it was a practice that was being abused. It was a practice that was being done with the wrong heart. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, it's not about the piety. It's not about, look at me, look at how spiritual I am because I am fasting. Instead of the piety and trying to win the approval of man, Jesus taught that it's about humility expressed in faith that seeks a genuine relationship with God, a deepening relationship through a heart that is set on him. So denying myself, breaking the control of my flesh so that I can seek God spiritually. So this week in our week of prayer and fasting, I'm encouraging each one of us to enter in to a fast. And for those in the room that are like, oh, but fasting food, like I don't know if I can do that. It doesn't have to be just food. Biblical fasting, what we see in the Bible, those fasts, yes, they were about food. But the principles of fasting can be applied today in other ways. Some people just shouldn't fast for medical reasons. There are people who it's not a safe practice for stopping of eating food. But the principle of giving something up to gain more from Christ, we can all do that. So think about this for a moment. You know, in the Old Testament, in the Bible times, it would take hours for people to prepare food. There was no refrigeration. There were no stores that they could go to quickly to grab this or that. And so they would spend hours in preparation, the food acquisition. If you were fasting food, for those people, it would mean now they have hours freed up to spend with God, to devote that time to pray. And so if you can fast food this week, then I would encourage you to do that. But there are other things that you can fast. And the way to determine perhaps what you should fast is to ask yourself, what takes my time? What takes my focus and what takes my attention? Perhaps it's TV. Perhaps it's games that you're playing or movies. Maybe it's recreation. Perhaps it's social media. The things that occupy your time. How many of us spend hours on one or even more of those things? Could we perhaps give that up so that we could spend that time instead pressing in through prayer with God to access more from Jesus? Give up the things that steal your time, the things that distract you, that occupy your mind and your heart, and instead spend that time with Jesus. So I want you to take some time today on your own to choose, what do you need to give up this week? Think about what has a hold on you, what monopolizes your time. And if the first thing that jumps in your head is kids, no, you can't give them up, so find something else. But lay that thing down, and then pick up your Bible and spend some time with Jesus. So this morning, I want to get practical a little bit, because every day this week, I'm going to email out and post on our social media page, so if you're not fasting social media, a prayer guide. It's very short. They're all about a paragraph long, but it just has a simple prayer focus for that day, some verses that you can begin to study, and like I said, a brief encouragement. And I would encourage you to start there. And I believe that this will be powerful for us as a church if we do this collectively. If we see, man, today we are praying for our families. And if we know that as a church we're doing that, man, something's going to happen and it's going to be good. But I also encourage you to don't stop there, right? Press on. Go to that next kilometer marker. And one way that you can do that is through further Bible reading, prayer, and journaling. So if I can have our communion passers come back up. We have today some journals that are for you. And we're going to pass them out. Now they are multicolored. If you want a specific color, choose quickly. But this is for everyone in the room. If we run out, we'll get more. Okay? But I'm just going to take a moment, and as they're passing those out and the worship team comes, and then we're going to continue talking about what we can do with these journals. And I mean, if you see a color across the room that you want, you can trade. Get to know the person you're trading with. Get to know their name. Maybe that's the first thing you can be praying for this week. All right. I want to talk to you about these journals and just some, I know they're still being passed out, but some practical things that we can do this week. What you need is first to set aside a block of time. Set aside a block of time, and for me, it's good to plan it out, right? Am I going to get up earlier in the morning in order to spend this intentional time with Jesus? Perhaps I'm going to take a break. Maybe it'll be on my lunch break where I spend some focused time with the Lord. But pick a time in your day that you can set aside this week to spend that time with Jesus. And then grab your journal, grab a pencil or a pen, and a Bible. And then I want you, if you haven't already, if you open up the journal to the front cover, you're going to see there's a little guide at the front. It's a journaling guide. And this is an acronym. It's just called SOAP. It says SOAP is a Bible reading and journaling method that helps us to process, reflect on, and apply God's word to our lives. We don't read the Bible just to read the Bible. We read the Bible to be changed by God. So as you study God's word, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you and change you for the better. And what you can do is begin by choosing a passage of scripture. Maybe it's one that I've written out in the daily prayer guide. Maybe it's something that the Lord has just placed on your heart. Hey, this week I'm going to read through the book of Luke. This week I'm going to read through James. This week I'm going to start at the beginning with Genesis. But whatever the passage of scripture it is, begin reading and ask for the Holy Spirit to speak to you through his word, because he will. He will. And then we do this journaling guide. So the S stands for scripture. Read scripture slowly as you read ask God to highlight a verse and write down the verse in your journal. And then the O for observation, just take some time to write down some things that stand out to you, things that you notice, different observations from that verse, from that passage. And then the A stands for application. Write down, pray, and think about, how can I apply this scripture to my life? How is this supposed to make an impact on me today? And then end that time in journaling with prayer, writing out a prayer, and then taking time to allow God to speak to you. Prayer is two ways. We pray and we listen for God to speak. Now, perhaps you don't need that prescriptive soap method of journaling. That's okay. That's there as a help. You can just read in the Word and journal what God speaks to you. But I encourage all of us to go deeper this week and to believe that as we fast and pray, as we are intentional about seeking God, He is going to fill us with His Spirit. As we spend time with Him, He is going to take us further in our faith. As we read the Word, He will speak because He does. That's who He is. As a church and as individuals, we have an opportunity this week to hear from God. So let's go. Let's go further. Let's be intentional. Let's get into His Word because His Word speaks. We can take God at His word. He is faithful and He is good. Would you stand with us? We're going to sing this closing worship song.